welcome to the podcast today. I have nothing much to pontificate on. I am just now looking forward to the people watching the solar eclipse more than the eclipse itself. People can be so entertaining. I know it's a once-in-a-lifetime cosmic event, but it's also, for me, a once-in-a-lifetime event to watch these people all coming to the area, tens of thousands of them, to watch what we have going on here. And it's eclipse this, eclipse that. There's drink specials. There's food specials. There's menu items. There's contests. We're doing a... I'm doing my show live on Monday from Franklin Park Mall up on the parking deck if the weather cooperates. It's all things eclipse. But now, a return visit from a guy I met about 3 years and 2 months ago because I had read a story in The Blade about a little blind dog being discarded and winding up at the Toledo Animal Rescue. That was and still is Faith. Faith helped them raise a heck of a lot of money. She's in a great spot now that you'll hear about shortly with Steve. And Steve also, just a couple months later, helped me find a dog, a place to go, because that dog was walked up to me in my neighborhood, sat outside for 3 hours with it, and Steve made some room over there at the Toledo Animal Rescue. And if the opportunity ever arises, I would like to grab a dog. Adopt a dog from the Toledo Animal Rescue. Good news, Diddy had an annual visit yesterday. They say he's 13. I'm like, he's probably 14. But the best news of all is he and Andre are in good shape. Always good when Steve visits. Let's do that now. It's good to welcome back the legendary, the iconic, the irascible.
The overhyped.
Steve Kiesling from my good friends right down the street. At Toledo Animal Rescue. Before we get to this big event that you have going on, which is it, I don't want to spill the beans yet, or spill the cat litter too soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Is this the biggest thing that you guys have been a part of since Faith?
I think it's bigger because it's not local.
Right.
Faith was a local phenomenon. That's how you and I got connected. And actually I just saw Mo the other day, and Faith Tuna Fish Breath is doing great. She is a national, international kitten celebrity.
Okay. Wait, so, we'll leave it at that. Okay. We'll come back to that, but this is a big deal. But first, bring me up to speed on what is going on with the Toledo Animal Rescue. I think last time I had you in here, we were talking about how there were, I think mostly cats running around everywhere because a lot of people didn't get spays and neuters during the pandemic. So a lot of our shelters, you included, were overflowing.
We all are still overflowing. But that's just kind of par for the course. That's mm-hmm. why we do what we do. We are growing leaps and bounds. We've adopted out, the first 3 months of this year, we adopted out 110 cats and dogs. Last year, when we had a record year of 430-some adoptions, the first 3 months, we adopted out 80. So we are doing a wonderful job. And I take very little credit for that. I've got a great team of people. And if I didn't have this team of people, we wouldn't be able to do any of this. So on top of just our adoptions, we've done some facilities improvements. This time last year, we bought new kennels for our cat and kitten rooms, which increased our capacity by more than 50%, which helped out a great deal. Mm-hmm. We just renovated our vet room for our lovely and talented and generous vet, Dr. Dave Bedouris. So the vet room is a focal point of our organization. As you know, every animal that comes in there goes to the vet room, gets vaccines, gets tests, any medications they need. So we don't give people unhealthy animals.
Right. Never a quiet day at Toledo Animal Rescue.
No, it's not. And that's probably one of the most wonderful things about it for me.
Yeah.
Next week, I will be celebrating my 4th year anniversary.
I was just going to say, boredom, like for me, is very bad for you as well. It must be our East Coast blood.
It is. And, you know, just personally, being in small nonprofit is definitely where I don't want to say I thrive because that would be, you know, that's for other people to judge. But
we'll
it's where I
that.
Where my
Sorry.
Fit where I fit the best because I can wear so many hats.
Sure.
I mean, today I'm doing 19 different things and none of them are related. And so it's a lot of fun for me.
One of the other ways that people might be familiar with Toledo Animal Rescue, another crappy situation, which you do your best to make the best of. Not that long ago, I think it was sometime this year, somebody threw some dogs over your fence, which unfortunately is too common, but these were some puppies.
We had four young adult male pit mixes and then a litter of four pit mix puppies, two males and two females, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that were dumped over our fence. We still have three of the adult dogs, none of the puppies. Unfortunately, one of the adult dogs, Nathan's hot dog. So we got Nathan's hot dog, we got Jimmy John's, and we have Penn Station. Jimmy John's has heartworm, so he's dealing with that.
No Rudy's? Somebody's going to be very upset.
Well, we had Tony Paco.
Got it. Okay.
So we you know, four dogs. That's what we did. So he's dealing with heartworm treatment and some other stuff going on. But yeah, they dumped those off. There was another litter of puppies that were dropped off at the end of our street by the Airport Animal Hospital and Brooks Hound Haven Grooming, which shout out to Brooke. If anybody wants their dog groomed, she's amazing. And so we got those puppies, and the vet actually just brought down two kittens that were dumped off at his gate today. So the vet from airport just brought down two more kittens.
Is there a way that you can dissuade people from doing that? I'm fairly sure it's a crime. It's illegal. Is there a welcoming way that you can say to people, hey, look, we know you're in a tight spot. Whatever's going on, we want to help. Please don't throw them over our fence.
It's honestly, it's very difficult because and just like everybody else, we are always at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We get far more requests for assistance than we have space available. We try our best to work with people to get the animals in. If they aren't able to afford to care for them in the meantime, we offer food assistance because we do have a pet food pantry now. So we try to do everything we can, but we're bailing out the ocean with a thimble sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we do our best. Yes, we don't want them dropped off over the fence, if possible, but unfortunately it happens on occasion. Most of the time people are trying to do right by the animal.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just not necessarily the greatest people. And we suspect that the dogs that were brought in were backyard breeders, maybe fight dogs, things like that, which is a shame because they're amazing dogs. They're the sweetest. They love other dogs. They're great with cats for the most part.
My friend Jarrett, who I forget, he renamed one of those Bear, and he said it gets along great with the dog that he has at home.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Adopted one of the puppies.
Yeah.
So we try our best, but it's nature of the business, I suppose.
Right. Maybe there's one glimmer right there. Maybe some people don't think that they can afford to feed the dog. At least in the near term, it sounds like you've got the food pantry. You can offer some food to certain owners.
Yeah. There is some other food assistance in the area. There's the pet food pantry that is up on, I believe, Lewis or Alexis, that is run by Pet Bowl Project, I believe. And forgive me if I'm wrong. But they have very limited hours. So we saw a need. People were calling us for food. We get a lot of food donated. We make sure that we ask anybody who donates if we can pay it forward. And the vast majority, actually 100% so far, have said, sure, give it to whomever needs it. If we can keep animals in the home, let's do it.
Are there any trends or storylines going on right now? 4 years ago, 3 years ago, a lot of people decided, my dad included, decided to adopt a dog because they were stuck at home with not much to do. Many of those people realized once the world kind of reopened that they couldn't care for the dog for one reason or another. What's the narrative these days when it comes to people adopting and pet ownership, especially now because you still have a lot of people who haven't gone back to work? They like working at home. Maybe like my friend Jarrett, they want to get a dog. So what's the current storyline with the adoption business?
I don't think there was a ton of returns after we got back to a different level of normalcy. We didn't see a lot of that. We thought there was going to be a tidal wave of returns, but I don't think there has been. Nationally, I do a lot of reporting with some national organizations. And nationally, there's still more intakes than there are adoptions.
Sure.
So everybody seems to be at capacity or near capacity or over capacity. As for storylines, we just keep on doing what we do. We pride ourselves on our facility being clean, smelling nice. We treat every person that comes in, whether they're surrendering or adopting. We treat them as if they're the only people that matter at the moment, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it shows. We've gotten many, many, many people who have adopted from us who are return adopters, or have been recommended by an adopter. And our numbers show. We were doing 115 to 130 adoptions in 2017, 18, 19. We did 430 last year, thereabouts.
Are these numbers always going to grow or at least be jaw-dropping in a way because of what we all were supposed to learn from Bob Barker at the end of Price is Right, to spay and neuter our animals? And that doesn't happen so much, and animals can procreate so easily that the number is always going to be a big one, and there will be a rare time when shelters are actually low on potential adoptees.
Yes.
Horny animals, right?
There's just too many of them out there.
Yeah.
There's too many cats out there that aren't fixed, and cats can have two litters. They can have a litter as young, I think, as 6 to 9 months or something like that. So they procreate prolifically.
Right.
And so it is an uphill battle. Humane Ohio obviously does a wonderful job of getting animals spayed and neutered. I think they did 17,000 last year. So everyone's doing their part.
Right.
And like I said, it's hard. It's hard to tell. I don't get many chances to sit back and look at it like we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually just in the moment. As kitten season's winding up, which is starting slower than it has in the past, we're really just focused on that. And a lot of it is it's kind of interesting that there's a lot of planning that goes into especially kitten season, because if we have animals in foster care, when they get old enough to be adopted, we have to make sure we have space for them. So we might have empty kennels, but they're empty because they don't have any residents in them, but they are spoken for. And so people will come in and say, "Oh, you have some empty kennels." I said, "Yes, but we have 20 kittens in foster care who will be back in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So we got to plan ahead for stuff like that." So yeah, there's a lot of juggling. Kind of one of the weird things is if you have one breed of animal, so if you have all pit bulls, it's hard to get any pit bull adopted because people can't choose even if they want one. If you have all black cats, if you have all orange cats, if you have all black and white cats, there's so many of them that people end up not making a choice because they're not sure which one of those cool black and white cats. So for us, it's having a good mix of shape, sizes, colors, temperaments, to fit everybody's, you know, need. We have people who really like the older cats, and it's part of their personal mission.
Mm-hmm.
They want to help the older cats. We have some that really like the ones who need some extra TLC. And so we have a cat for you. We have a dog for you. So it's kind of a weird thinking that we have to do. I never realized that when I started 3-4 years ago.
What makes you different from other local shelters? Not that I have to tell you not to slam the other places. What makes you different? Other than people need to make an appointment before they stop by.
Not always.
Not always? Okay.
We did that definitely during COVID. We prefer appointments because we want to give the people the time and attention that they need. And because we are a smaller place, if we have more than 2 or 3 visits in the building at any one time, then it's just everyone's stepping all over each other. They can't have the time they need. It's not looking off of a menu and picking out the dinner option. It's you're making a 10-15 year commitment. We want to make sure that people are thoughtful, that we are thoughtful, that we make the best match possible. I don't know if other organizations see it that way. I'm pretty sure they do. Most of the organizations that I work with do a really good job. Even the larger ones like Humane Society and the smaller foster-based ones, they're all doing it similarly to us. But I mean, I'm also biased.
Right. Sure.
Our place is better.
We had mentioned Faith at the outset of this. Faith was the little, mostly blind, adorable dog that was found on the side of the road and was brought to you, right?
Correct.
2021. It was three years ago.
January of 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fast forward, she got adopted by Mo, who runs the original sub shop downtown. And she and Peppersteak, her sister, are both well-fed, loving life now.
They are. I caught up with Mo last week, and we sat and talked about the dogs for a while.
So let's jump in. That was a big deal three years ago. Boy, time either flies. Time is both concurrently flying but moving slow at the same time.
The days are long and the years are short.
I like it. The kitten lady. So this is a big deal. I didn't even see this from you guys. It came my way through other people being excited that the kitten lady, who is a social media star, an influencer, however you want to phrase it, is coming here to be a part of an event with you guys.
Yeah, we are beyond excited. So I guess for those who might not know who Hannah Shaw, the kitten lady, is, think celebrity chef status. But I might be marginalizing her a little bit. Any of us who raise kittens, who foster kittens, who deal with bottle babies up to, you know, being adopted, have learned something from her. We paraphrase her policies, her procedures. She has so much information out there. And yes, she's an international star. She has millions of followers. When we post something and she shares it, we have 14,000 people on our Facebook page. So if you're not on our page, jump on. We'll get 150,000 hits from one of her, if she shares one of our posts.
What's something that she would share of yours or has shared of yours in the past?
Some of it, she has an organization called the Orphan Kitten Club. It's a foundation that funds rescues like us. And so she has purchased, well, through her foundation, we have purchased incubators. And so if we have little kittens in an incubator with her logo on it, and we shout out the Orphan Kitten Club and Kitten Lady, she'll share that and it'll go all over the place. She's sharing our event on April 25th, and that is going all over the place. We have people coming in from as far as Traverse City and Morgantown, West Virginia for this. People are traveling to see her. She is a people lover.
Where's she based out of?
San Diego.
Okay.
I believe her background is her father, and I'm hoping I'm right on this, and you can fact check me. Her father, I believe, was the guitarist for REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
And I'm hoping I'm right. But her father had a foundation. So she ran a foundation, and she just got into this, into the fostering and things, and then just parlayed her experience into that. And so now she travels around the country and does presentations and talks and meet and greets and things like that. She's also going around the world to see rescues and shelters across the world to publicize their needs and their successes. She's really cool. I had a Zoom meeting with her last week, and she's just kind of she's really neat.
How did her coming here all transpire?
On her Facebook page, there was a post that she was scheduling for 24. And so I reached out and worked with her agent, and it just kind of happened. We did it.
Did you feel fortunate? Because I'm sure she got dozens, if not hundreds, of requests.
I jumped in probably within the first hour. It is an expense for us. But obviously we charge prices for the tickets so we can recoup our expenses. And we are not necessarily making it a fundraiser, although we do want to make money off of it because it all goes back into our kitten program. But yeah, very fortunate. It definitely is something for a small rescue like us to have her here and put Toledo and our rescue on the map a little bit. She shares our stuff so people know who we are. Like I said, people are coming from all over the place and are going to learn about Toledo Animal Rescue. And they're going to see our city for hopefully, end of April, it'll look a little bit more green and lush.
So what are the events of the day with her? I know one is definitely sold out, but let's talk about it anyway. What's her day going to look like here as she participates with you guys?
Yeah, the first thing we're doing is she's coming to visit the rescue to get a tour, see where her Orphan Kitten Club money is going to. Because she's the foundation has also purchased new kennels for us, which were a really big expense. So get to meet our staff, get to meet our fosters, get to meet our volunteers, some photo ops, check out our place. In the afternoon, we do have a training and a workshop and a VIP meet and greet. They're all being held at Owens Community College, which is really great. Some wonderful facilities over there. So if anybody's out there wants to rent a space for a conference or something like that, contact Owens. They have wonderful buildings. So we're doing those things in the evening. So it's kind of a one-day thing. She's coming in the night before and leaving the next day.
So all that sold out?
The training is. So I have to look real quick. I popped it up. So I got to look, make sure I have the names correct. So the programs that save kittens is the training, and that's for folks in the animal welfare world.
Mm-hmm.
So she's gearing it towards those of us who are in the biz. The other one is Saving Kittens Lives. It's a workshop for the general public of all mm-hmm. ages. So if you, you know, if you, you and your kids want to come, please do. The training is sold out. The workshop still has tickets.
Okay.
And you can check, it's on the front page of our website, ToledoAnimalRescue.org. The link's right there. The VIP, it's very small. We're looking at 30 to 40 people total. That way it's a very intimate setting at the Terrace View Cafe at Owens. And shout out to Owens Culinary Program because they are providing the food for us. And so that's a very intimate one. That sold out in 6 minutes.
So I was going to ask you, how overwhelming was this, knowing all the likes and interest you get when she reposts something that she was coming here? What did, was it the kind of thing like the server got overloaded, the Facebook page was melting?
No, not so bad. And you say that, how overwhelming was it, as if it was in past tense?
Oh, it's still, so you're still getting messages like,
no, just the logistics of it all and making sure that we are, presenting our facility, our programs, and frankly, Toledo in the best light.
Sure. Sure.
She goes all over the world and she's coming to, you know, modest Toledo, Ohio. So let's make sure she has a great experience.
In my years of doing this, there have been like if somebody desperately wanted concert tickets, and I'm being a little hyperbolic here, but like if you could give me these Backstreet Boy tickets, it would likely cure my grandmother's cancer. Is there any way that you can give me these tickets? No, sorry, grandma's gonna have to go through chemotherapy. Have you gotten any bizarre requests like that?
Not bizarre, but yes, requests like that. Someone who is attending. Her daughter uses a wheelchair, and Hannah Shaw is, you know, her idol. And, you know, how can I get tickets? So I'm trying my best to be equal in how I treat everybody, because I don't want to give one person preferential treatment.
Sure.
Luckily, she got tickets.
Good. I tell everybody no for the most part, because if you say yes to one, it's hard to justify it for all the other requests that could potentially come in.
Yeah, I try not to say no, because that's pretty finite. But I give here's the best way to go about it. And if you're the quickest and fastest to get those tickets, you can get those tickets.
So there's another personality you have at Toledo Animal Rescue who's been there for some time. Edna.
You don't know?
Well, hold on. I know, but okay. So Edna got returned numerous times. Edna had a catitude. Has she passed away now? Because you told me she was sick last time I visited.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Probably, gosh, it's about a month ago. She had kidney failure. And so we knew something was wrong with Edna when she wasn't trying to murder anybody.
Right.
So something was off. We got her tested. We did blood tests and all that. And so we just tried to, you know, provide palliative hospice care for her. I let her do whatever she wanted, eat whatever she wanted. Well, first we tried the different medicated foods and medications to see if we could kind of stave it off a little bit. I'm going to get choked up. She was my girl.
Look at the scars that you have from her.
I do have, you know, the funny thing is
Too.
I have plenty of scars from her. So yeah, she was amazing. She was a wonderful addition to our organizational personality. We have another one in grooming. Her name is Sanders, but she is still way too aggressive. We've tried to have her out, and she's really unpredictable. And she ended up lunging at somebody and drawing blood. So we're working on that. We're working on her right now.
Edna was like a ninja. She was sneaky. She'd let you in. You could pet her a little bit and then SWAT.
Yeah. She was definitely, she was one of a kind. She was cool. I mean, she was my cat.
Yeah. How can people get in touch with Toledo Animal Rescue?
Website, ToledoAnimalRescue.org. Our phone number is 419-382-1130. One of the things we do pride ourselves on is we try to answer the phone. Even when we're busy, we always have somebody who tries to be available to answer the phone. Many reasons, because it's really good customer service. But also, if we can answer a question to help somebody out who's in a bind, and a lot of our questions aren't, I need to bring an animal in. A lot of our questions are, today I have a 12-year-old cat who sent my dog to the emergency room last night, wants to murder every other animal. What do I do? And so we try to provide as much information as possible without being very careful with the information we provide. Sometimes the people already know the answer to the question they're asking, in terms of maybe needing to euthanize an animal.
Mm-hmm.
We will never suggest that. We will suggest contact your veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
Seek a professional. I'm not a vet. I'm not a medical person. Our staff, while they know a lot about the medical side of things, are not vets. So we will not provide that that recommendation, but we will kind of counsel people through it to try to make them feel maybe better about whatever direction they want to go in, whether it is the ultimate, you know, crossing the rainbow bridge or finding solutions in the home that could possibly make the situation better.
We didn't mention where exactly you are in South Toledo off of airport. What's the best way you describe where you are?
Behind Taco Bell, in the neighborhood behind Taco Bell.
There we go. There we go. Yeah,
off of Wyman and Mercer.
And not that you guys do many of these, but any incentives to adopt or just prices that people might need to be aware of or catch your dogs they might want to come look at right now?
So prices, we don't have any specials going on right now. I'm sure in kitten season we will. If you're a previous adopter, you definitely get some financial consideration. And at times when we have some grant funding, we had a pet finder grant that allowed us to take $50 off for 20 dogs. So we did that earlier this year. So that was really nice. What was the second question?
Any that you'd like to get out of there right now because you like them so much and you wish they'd have a home, cat or dog?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, all of them. We have wonderful animals. And again, I'll go back to, we have a wonderful staff who really care about the animals. They're not treated as a commodity or inventory or a nuisance. They're treated as if they're their own pet. And our goal is to keep them happy and healthy so they can go home.
I don't know if there's any higher praise that I could offer other than if I ever got a cat, it would come from you guys, because those cats in that cat room, they're the most interactive creatures they're the most interactive felines I've ever been around.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath because you're never getting a cat. So
right.
But everybody who knows you knows
not a cat person.
That is not happening. One thing I haven't talked about is we are down at Tabby and Fido's Cat Cafe in Bowling Green. So we have 6 to 8 cats down there. If you haven't been, it's a wonderful space. It's a calm space. It's a great place. If you're not able to have cats or you are looking to adopt and you're down that way, the cats are free roaming in this wonderful, comfortable cat room. And so they're up for adoption down there. You get to hang out with them. So cat cafes are kind of one of those things that are really blowing up, and we're fortunate enough to be part of their program.